Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 8 is a wonderful proverb because the whole proverb deals with wisdom, and in this proverb, wisdom is personified. Now, the subject of our sermon today is going to be why men refuse wisdom. That's what's profoundly contained in this passage. There are many great things about wisdom, but we'd really like to take that angle. Why men refuse wisdom. See, according to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, wisdom is pervasive. And you say pervasive because it speaks in multiple public places where it could not possibly be missed. Listen to this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. So you see, wisdom is not something that is so obscure you can't find it. It's obvious. It's in public places, multiple public places. It's there for the taking. Wisdom calls out to all men, even to the simple, even to the fools. Literally, in this passage, you see that wisdom welcomes any audience and gives of her vast counsel, judgment, riches, fruit, and righteousness to all who will love her and seek her. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill all their treasures. Do you see that? I mean, wisdom is like, here I am, come and get me. And when you do, I've got all kinds of things. I've got riches for you. I've got counsel for you. I've got judgment for you. I've got fruit for you. I've got righteousness for you. I've got strength for you. Just love me and seek me, and I've got all these things for you. But the amazing thing is that men will not hearken to wisdom. They refuse it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise, watch it, and refuse it not. You would think, really, literally, you would think that something that is as valuable as wisdom, something that is as attainable as wisdom, would not be refused. But it is refused. And that's why there's this admonition, hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. So we need to talk about why men refuse wisdom, because it may very well be that wisdom has been crying out to you and you've been turning a deaf ear. So this sermon hopefully will help you to see that in spite of wisdom's great promises to reward you more handsomely than any of your worldly pursuits, you've neglected, you've refused true wisdom. And the question really is, why? Well, here are the answers in Proverbs chapter 8. Number one, you're just not listening to it. You're just not listening to it. Look what he says here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6 again. Hear, For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. But what does he say before the semicolon in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6? He says, hear. One word, hear. Wisdom says, hear. H-E-A-R, not hear like come here, but hear like listen. And you know what? When you refuse true wisdom, it's because you're listening to something else. In other words, men refuse true wisdom because they just aren't listening to it. They're listening to radio. You know, so you've got some driving time in your vehicle and you just turn the radio on, listen to radio. Television, you get home, you're tired, you want to put your feet up, see what's going on, check the news, check, you know, some nonsensical show on TV. Internet, there's a lot and lots of time you can burn on the internet, just surfing around one thing to another. Music, a lot of times people like to fill their minds with music. You go to the gym, there's music. You go to the restaurant, there's music. You know, go to the elevator, there's music. Just the clatter and chatter of all the urban noises around you. Just the horns honking, cars revving up, motorcycles going by, trains down the tracks, planes flying overhead. You know, all that stuff. And what happens is you just simply become too distracted to tune out the clutter and then through all of that to discern the voice of wisdom. In other words, wisdom's there speaking, but there are a lot of other voices. Now, as you're going to see through this particular sermon, the Bible is where you're going to find your wisdom today, okay? Haven't you ever sat down with a Bible to try to read? And I mean your lists and your interest in sports and your job and just the noise and chatter of the house. It's almost impossible to concentrate. You know what that is? That's something there that is interrupting the clarity of the voice of wisdom. And it gets you to the point where you just refuse to listen to it. And when you refuse to listen to wisdom, then you go without all of her riches and counsel and judgment and fruit and righteousness and all those wonderful things that we've just read about. Here's another reason that men refuse true wisdom. They refuse because their ears are filled with wickedness, frowardness, and perversion. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Now, you know what? You know what you really like? Every once in a while, you like to watch an R-rated movie. And, you know, you look down there at the little medallion that tells you why it got that rating, and it says, you know, explicit language. I don't know the words they use. I don't know what the words are that they use. But they tell you that there's going to be bad language in there, and they tell you there's going to be some sexual something or another going on in there. And what happens, you're like, well, you know, we got to watch that movie. All right, now, when you watch that movie, you're seeing frowardness. Frowardness is something that is off course. It's crooked. You're seeing wickedness on display. You're hearing it. Somebody in the movie is going to take the name of God Almighty in vain. Somebody's going to you're going to see an adulterous relationship. You're going to see violence, and it's going to be very graphic and very bloody. And you're going to see graft and extortion, and you're going to see murder, and you're going to see high-speed chasing, and you're going to see money laundering, and you're going to see all these wicked things going on. You're going to see perversion. Some of the actors are going to be, you know, putting forth homosexuality as a normal thing, so to speak, and that kind of thing. You're going to see wickedness, forwardness, and perversion. And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing in you, in your mind or in your heart, that says, wow, this is wicked. I don't need to be watching this. As a matter of fact, you say, wow, that's great. The next time that particular producer makes a film, I'm going to watch that one too. Why? You love dirty films. And you love dirty jokes. You can't wait till you hear the next one at the office, and you just laugh and guffaw and all that kind of stuff. You love, you know, dirty books and dirty magazines and gossip, dirty gossip and all that kind of stuff. And what happens is your ears are tuned to smut, and there's no smut in the Bible. He says, "For my mouth shall speak truth. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge." God says, I don't speak like that, and I don't talk like that, and I don't make those innuendos, and I don't, glamorize sin. You know, what happens, really, when you get used to hearing all this stuff, this vile stuff, then what you don't want to listen to the Bible. I mean, men get to the place where they'd rather hear a well-told lie than the plain truth. You listen to political speeches, and you hear somebody saying all the things that you want to hear just the way you want to hear them, and they may or may not be telling you the truth. Many times they're not telling you the truth about what they can do or will do. They're telling you what you want to hear, and you love it. You just, oh, man, I just love that. You don't want to hear the plain truth. And if you don't want to hear the plain truth, you're surely not going to want to listen to wisdom, because what wisdom says is, my words are all plain to him that understandeth. That's the plain truth. You know what happens? You get bored with truth. You get bored with understanding. You get bored with knowledge, because you want the excitement and the glamorized sin of television and movies and videos and all that other kind of stuff. Smut, you know. See, that's, people stop on the interstate to see the blood in a wreck instead of paying attention to the road and driving, you know, like they're supposed to. You get drawn to that, but the problem is, then you end up refusing true wisdom. Men refuse true wisdom not only because of these two things, but also because they are infatuated with silver, gold, jewels, and possessions. Men are infatuated with silver, with gold, with jewels, and possessions. Now, if you don't believe that, just watch advertising or read your conservative material and listen to the advertising. They're selling gold, they're selling silver, jewels, and just stuff to own. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver. You see how he makes those juxtaposed, one set against the other? Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So like you have to make a choice. Why would you refuse the silver and refuse the gold? Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, what's happened is your thoughts and your pursuits of silver, gold, rubies, things that men desire, it fills your heart, fills your mind. Oh, I'd love to have that car. I'd love to have a new motorcycle. Man, I can't wait till I can get, you know, that gun or that boat or that ring or that next shipment of gold or whatever the case may be. Your ambitions are toward tangible, temporal things. Tangible, that is, that you can see and feel. Temporal, that is, for now and not for later. In other words, what happens is you end up placing more value on the things that you can see, the things that you can acquire, the things that you can display, than on the things which you can only receive by understanding and knowledge. The things that go into your heart, that go into your mind, that go into your soul, that go into your spirit. You're like, well, I don't see any value in those things. They're not fast. They're not shiny. You know, they're not tangible. And so what happens is your infatuation is with possessions. Now, that's just the society in which we live. It's a covetous society, an idolatrous society. People are not content. They have and they want more. And what that pursuit of more, of possessions, of the shiny, sparkly, tangible, showy stuff keeps you from hearing wisdom and causes you even to refuse true wisdom. It's like, no, I'd much rather have silver and gold than instruction and knowledge. Can't make any money with those, see? Men refuse true wisdom because they just aren't listening to it. And they refuse true wisdom because their ears are filled with wickedness, frowardness, and perversion. They refuse true wisdom because they are infatuated with silver, gold, jewels, and possessions. I'll tell you another reason why men refuse true wisdom, because they are proud, arrogant, and evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Those are strong words. And wisdom says, I hate pride. I hate arrogancy and the evil way. I hate the froward mouth. That's what wisdom says. And I find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, you know what sometimes happens is you believe you know more than wisdom. And there's a temptation to scorn the truth that you don't believe. I mean, really, what's happened to men today is they have more confidence in their inventions that they can see, like idols, than in the true and living God, whom you cannot see. The knowledge of witty inventions. Boy, I'll tell you, you look at the wisdom Paul gave to the Athenians, and what did they want? They wanted to worship at an altar to the unknown God. You look at the wisdom that Paul preached to the Philippians, and what did they want? They wanted to worship their little goddess, the Ephesians, Diana of the Ephesians. They wanted to worship Diana. They had a soothsayer in Philippi, and the men were making money off of her. And when she lost her power because Paul cast the devil out of her, they beat him up and threw him in jail. You see what the deal is? There's this real competition between proud, arrogant, evil men and pure wisdom. Men of pride today, witty inventions, they talk about global warming and use that as a tool to take control of how you burn your hydrocarbons. Okay? That's pride. We know that the earth is going to get really hot. It's going to scorch men because of the sun, because of what happens with the ultraviolet rays, because of what happens when God increases the intensity of the sun during the tribulation. We already know that. But that's a moral dilemma, okay? That's not a political dilemma. The further and further men get from God, the hotter and hotter it's getting down here. You might think then perhaps what that's indicating is that we are seeing more and more hell-bound sinners. You read the Bible, that's surely the impression you get that way. But oh no, proud and arrogant, evil men say no such thing as hell. See that? And reject wisdom. Men refuse true wisdom not only because they're proud, arrogant, and evil, but also because they have a worldview of eternity. Look what wisdom says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Wisdom says, in the beginning God, and in the end God. The worldview says, in the beginning was nothing or something other than God, and when this life is over, that's it. Now, when you build upon the wrong foundation, you're going to get a faulty building. So when wisdom speaks to you of things pertaining to God and you tune that out seeking rather to listen to science falsely so-called, you're going to end up in error. Now look again at what he says in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. So if science is going to try to deal with things that are demonstrable, some things they can put in a lab and show you, they're going to do that, supposedly. They surely go beyond that boundary when it comes to certain other things that we'll talk about in just a minute. But the point is, it is limited to study of earth and heaven and so forth, and the time frame, whatever time it wants to assign. Wisdom is beyond that on both sides. Do you understand? So everybody's all excited about new scientific discoveries today, but they don't get excited about discovering deeper and better things in the Bible. They don't get excited about digging in the Scripture and finding the great truths of God. And the Lord says, you know, you're digging around in the docks, rocks, and you're digging around in archaeology, and you're digging around in geology, and you're trying to study this stuff scientifically. And you're dealing with seismology, and you're dealing with hydrology, and you're dealing with all these ologies, but you're not dealing with theology. You're not coming to me in wisdom to see what I have to say. And he says, but I want you to know something. I was here before what you're studying. Do you understand? So when you have a worldview of eternity, you're going to limit your study to those things that are here, that you see in front of you. All right, now let me give you one other thing, and then let me give you some benefits here. But men refuse wisdom also because they are evolutionists, not creationists. We already began to hint toward this anyway, but look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Do you understand that wisdom is speaking to you about what God did when he made the heaven and made the earth and made men? Now, creationists are more likely to listen to wisdom because we know that wisdom was here before God created the heaven and the earth and men. So wisdom would certainly be of more value than the heaven and the earth and men, because why? It's been here longer, and it's going to be here longer. Now, we know that God made what he made by wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." All right, so this is how he put it together. So wisdom is of more value even than the scientific exploration of the earth, seas, and space, because it has been here longer than they have, and it's going to be here longer than they will. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So wisdom is going to outlast the heaven and earth. Men who love wisdom are men who understand that God made all of this. Evolutionists, on the other hand, are men who disdain wisdom. Yeah, truly, if you're talking to an evolutionist, which you've probably done, I've done, and you say, no, God made all this, they look at you like you are fit for the nut house and want to argue with you and debate with you and look at the evidence and prove their points and all that stuff. And I think to myself, what a waste of time. But, and here's why I say that. You're talking to somebody who has already said to wisdom, I don't want to listen to you. I want to form my own view. I'm an evolutionist. I have determined that God didn't make this, so I don't want to listen to what you have to say about anything concerning the wisdom of God in creating this universe. Now, just for your curiosity, notice in verse 27 he says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there, plural. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Do you even know what that is? You would have to go to Psalm 148, verse 4. You'd have to go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Then you'd understand what he was talking about. In the last part of verse 27, when he says he set a compass upon the face of the depth, out in the universe there is a body of water that encloses this universe. And it's spherical. And God set it up that way. And that's why the laws of thermodynamics work the way they do. The second law of thermodynamics states that there's entropy in a closed system. And that is, you are seeing the decay, okay, of things in the earth. your new car is going to end up in the used car lot, and then it's going to end up in the junkyard because of entropy, which works in a closed system. Your universe is enclosed in water. Verse 27, Genesis chapter 1, Psalm 148, and some other places. Evolutionists will never be able to tell you that. They'll never scientifically observe that. They cannot demonstrate that. God shows you what it is, and that particular truth is what makes sense out of the laws with which they function. That's why it's science, falsely so called. Now, you have two options. You can start listening to wisdom daily and reap the eternal benefits of her counsel. That's Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. He says, Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So you have that option. You can start listening to wisdom daily and reap the eternal benefits of her counsel. Or you can refuse her and sin against God, wrong your soul, and wind up dead and in hell. That's Proverbs 8:36. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Isn't that amazing? So you have the choice. You can go on without listening to wisdom, wind up dead and in hell, or you can start listening to wisdom and reap some eternal benefits of her counsel both here and later. Now, if you decide to do the former, if that is you start listening to wisdom daily, then the best place in the world to hear the voice of wisdom on a daily basis is in the Bible. For the most part, every day, I get up in the morning and I open my Bible and I listen to the words of wisdom. You know what I recommend to you? Read the Bible and listen to what it says every single day. Do not refuse the true wisdom of God by getting wrapped up in all these other things that cause the distractions of Proverbs chapter 8. And God bless you when you read. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.